Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's always good to be here again. It's always good to see what God is doing among the brethren that dwell in Mindanao and especially Jabanga. Is that supposed to be Habunga?
Habunga.
Okay. Amen.
Okay. Now I have a burden on my heart for the Bible school here. And I want to have us pray for Edmar and Medlin and the school here. And I want you to join with me in agreement in this prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you see what the enemy has tried to do with this school. Lord, behold. Amen. Behold how the enemy has tried to blackball them. And prevent those who are called and ordained of thee to come and receive the word of God here. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood of the Lamb, we would say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Yea, the Lord rebuke you. And you will not hinder, and you will not rob, and you will not steal. And Lord, we would command that lying spirit, that tail-bearing tongue be silenced. And Lord, even as you spoke to Moses and the children of Israel, not even a dog would wag his tongue against them. So Lord, this is something that we cannot do in the flesh. But Lord, it is something that your almighty hand can accomplish. And so Lord, we would ask, even in this perhaps late hour, that you would send your spirit throughout this land of the Philippines. And Lord, that you would bring in more. Amen. We would ask that they be released even for this current class now. Lord, there have been students who have desired to come. And for one reason or another have been discouraged or turned back. We come against that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask that they be released now in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would release a blessing. That you would release the finances. That you would release all things that need to be released. And that you would give favor, Lord. Favor to those who are dedicated to this work. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
No, I don't know. Maybe it's just crazy thinking, but I still feel that there's some that should come. I can be wrong, but I just like to give God an opportunity to bring him in yet. Are you okay with that?
Amen.
Okay.
Okay, brother.
Amen.
Brother Bert gave an excellent word this morning. He brought up a very important subject. I kept hearing the word heaven. And just like the Lord has spoke to me earlier, that it's going to be between the word on heaven and the one that I'm going to bring. Amen. As I was saying, Brother Bert brought a word on heaven. And I kind of feel like we've heard about enough on that for now, but I want to reserve the opportunity to bring that up again maybe next week when we come back. And maybe bring a little teaching on that. In the meantime, I want to encourage the students, especially the new ones, to break out those concordances. And I know the same material can be found on these laptops that we brought. And we need to learn to study to know what the Word of God actually says. Amen. And you know, the Word of God is going to be able to defend itself. There are people out there that probably call us a cult. And they loosely use that word. That doesn't agree with 100% anything that they believe. And in this school, we want you to examine the Word of God and what God actually said. And you will judge for yourself, what did God say? You know, brethren, the Roman Catholic Church, insofar as it lining up with the Word of God, is the biggest cult in the world. No, I said it and you can quote me. I'm not ashamed of saying it. They do not line up with the Bible. They do not line up with the Word of God in their practice or in their doctrine or their belief. I one time asked a priest, long time ago, I was in my early 20s. And I refused to call him father. The Bible says, call no man father. So I said, priest, I have a question for you. How can you justify the beliefs and practices of your church insofar as the Bible is concerned? He said, we hold the traditions of the church to be higher authority than the Word of God, than the Bible. I was hoping I could have a discussion with him about the Bible. When he said that, I had nothing more to say. I mean, I could have preached, but there was nothing more that he would hear. Amen. You know, the thing that is pressing on my heart is the urgency of the hour. How many of you believe we're in the end time? I ask this every time I come, don't I? Every time I come, I say, we are preaching sons of God. We are preaching the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom. And we are preaching an end time ministry. Now, brethren, there are things that you are going to hear that upon the hearing, if you can believe that it is in the Word of God and it's what God said, then there are things in your belief and in your soul that you're going to have to change. How many of you are new students that I have never met before? I count one. Is there only one new student here? Where are the others? They all have the day off? Who's the other new? Only one new student then. Okay. Well, you have to make sure the next time that all the new students come. All right, and now to those of you that have been here before, how many of you are being changed? How many of you are not the same as when you first came here? Amen. You know, I heard a man of the world on the radio the other day. He's not a born-again believer. He's just a talk show man. But I heard him say that they believe that it takes a man 5 years to change. That is, we do not change quickly, do we? The old man is very reluctant to want to give up his place. But I want to say to you, brethren, that we may have to change faster than that. And I believe that God can change us. Because I believe that we are on the brink of some very dramatic changes in this earth. Things that the hand of God is in control and is beginning to release some of these things. There are things that are going to happen very quickly and very suddenly. And I'd like to share with you some of the things that the Word of God is talking about. Amen. Let us turn first of all to Malachi, the third chapter. And just the first verse. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
I think we have a reader here.
Malachi 3:1. Ye know the Lord, the labing of Highland. Ipadala mo ang akong sinugo at ang pag-andam sa dalan na akong agian. Unya, patalit mo ato sa iyong templo ang Ginoo nga inyong ipakita. Ang sinugo nga inyong ipangandoy mo ang iyong magsangyaw sa akong kasagutan.
How many of you believe that the messenger is a company of people? How many of you believe that maybe you have been hearing that messenger company that the Lord has sent? The Lord is saying that this is His practice. This is His MO, shall we say. At the time of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He came in the flesh, there was a messenger that came and announced His coming and prepared the way in the hearts of the people. Now the word that you are hearing in these days, the apostolic message that you are hearing, is a word that is coming for the purpose of changing your heart, changing your mind, changing your soul. You have a choice. You can fight and you can resist. And this is basically what the church system is doing, is fighting and resisting what God is saying. Even the Protestant systems, even the Pentecostal systems, they are resistive to the Word of God, the truth that is coming in this hour. And the biggest nut to crack is the church leadership system. The system where men are in control over the system, men are in control of other men. The great ones ruling over the small ones. And it is a system that God hates. God does not have a problem with ministry. But He has a problem with men ruling over other men. He has a problem with men wanting to be hirelings. Where young men decide that they are going to take up the occupation of pastor. That they have decided it's a good way to earn a good income. A good steady income. Now, God does not have a problem in supporting the labor being worthy of His hire. But He has a problem with these systems. And the systems that take after their mother harlot, and the mother harlot's name is Mystery Babylon. So if you take after the ways of the mother, you are one of her daughters. And you are also Babylon. Now what this verse is saying is that the messenger is come to prepare the way before me. This is the Lord writing this. The Lord is saying this. So you see the doctrine of the Protestant, many of the Pentecostal churches has to do with just simply catching you off into the clouds. In other words, letting you go on and live and maintain the lifestyle that you have been living all along. Without expecting you to come to any perfection, without expecting that he who hath this hope in him purifying himself, in other words, the doctrine that they're preaching is simply go ahead and make all the money you possibly can. Find yourself up in the clouds somewhere. Then what is the purpose of a messenger coming to prepare you for the coming of the Lord? Do you understand the difference? The rapture doctrine has no need for preparation. Some of you are nodding your head because you heard me time and time and time again. I tell you, brethren, I am not going to tell you something that I cannot prove from the Word of God. If I don't know it, if I can't demonstrate it, I'm not going to say it. Nevertheless, there is still something coming that is going to be arriving on the scene suddenly. Therefore, you need to be responding to the word of preparation. You need to be going to God after you hear this message. You need to be waking up in the morning and saying to your soul, my God, what do I need to do? What are you asking of me? How must I change? And I remember very clearly in the early days when I heard this message, in one sense I was a little bit terrified. The urgency of the hour was upon me. And I said, my God, there are things out of order. There are things out of order in my home fellowship for which I have the ability to do something about. There are things out of order in my life. There are things out of order among some of our children of which I can speak about, but because of their age, I do not have total control. To make them change. Nevertheless, I am going to begin to teach them and show them what I see and what I know in this hour. Whether they walk in it or do not walk in it, they will know what I believe. I will not waver in what I believe. And I will not compromise in what I believe. If I do not believe in Babylon, I will not celebrate Babylon. I will not give in to the demonic spirits that have had control over me from the day of my birth. The Germanic ancestral spirits. Hallelujah. Whatever they are. I will begin to claim the kingdom of God. And so this verse says that the Lord whom ye seek. How many of you are seeking the Lord? How many of you are saying, Lord, come quickly? How many of you really believe that He is going to show up suddenly? And in what manifestation is He going to show up? Do you believe He's going to come quickly and snatch you away somewhere? No. It says He will come suddenly to His temple. Now, brethren, here's the thing that you need to ask God, and you need to ask God very diligently. You need to ask God, give me spiritual understanding. If you do not have spiritual understanding, you're going to misinterpret what was just said. The first thing you will say about this verse is that it's in the Old Testament. And then you will say, oh, it's already been fulfilled. Because yes, Jesus did suddenly come to the temple. And what did He find in His temple? The Jewish temple, that is. What did He find? Were they worshiping the Lord? Were they praising His name? What were they doing? Money changing. Merchandising. Isn't it sad that churches are still merchandising? They have a guest speaker come, a guest musician, and the next thing you know, he's selling his records. They're still merchandising. So you can say, well, yes, He already came, that's already fulfilled, I don't need to worry about that anymore. But you see, we need a spiritual understanding of temple. Because you see, when we went over into the New Testament, the definition of the word temple changed. When you get past the book of Acts, what is the definition of temple? What is it?
Saruman?
Let me hear you. Say it louder. What is the temple of God? Yes, we are the temple of God. Who's we? Who's us? What's the definition of us? Does that include the whole village? Everybody in Philippines? Believers. Believers. Born again believers in Jesus Christ. Alright, so it's the whole house of God, it's His temple. I thought Brother Bert was going to do a drawing of the tabernacle. You've seen it many times. We'll do it before we leave this week. But nevertheless, it says He is going to come suddenly to His what? Which means He is going to suddenly come to His people. So if you're looking at the coming of Christ, before He comes that every eye can see Him, He's going to come just for His people. And where will that be that He will come? Where does He want to come? Where does He want to dwell? In us. Where in us? In my arm? In our heart? In our soul? In our mind? Amen? Now, do you understand why you need to be prepared? If you suddenly woke up tomorrow morning and found that you were completely delivered of every remnant of Adam, and Christ is now fully dwelling in you, some of you wouldn't know who you were. You would say, what happened to me? What happened to all those things that I wanted to do? So we have to allow God to change us. But you see, His coming, is that going to be a real pleasant thing, His coming into His temple? We're all going to enjoy that. It'll be happy and wonderful. I wasn't going to read the next verse. But what does the next verse say? It says, but who may abide the day of His coming, and who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Amen. Now, how many of you remember I spoke that word when I was here in February? I said, who shall abide? Have you been thinking about that? So when He comes to His temple, it says He's coming as it were with fire. So He's coming with some awesome terrifying authority. Powerful purity. Terrifying to any darkness that's left in me. Amen. So he's going to come suddenly. Now, I want to stick with this word about suddenly. Let's go over to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Let's go down to verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Mateo 24, versículo 36. Apan walay tao man sa iyo, kanus ang obot, katong adlawang, ugtang naa. Bisan ang mga anghel sa langit, ug bisan galing anak, kung diliyang amahan lamang.
So you see, it's not only sudden, but it's unexpected. In other words, Jesus is saying the Father has not shared this secret with anyone. You see, I preached this same word 30 years ago. Because I believed it would happen anytime. Now, if the Lord gives me another 30 years and He still delays, I will still preach. Although I might add, I will be a very old man. Amen. Nevertheless, I will still believe. Okay. And then he makes a comparison with Noah. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Versículo 37. Ang pag-abot sa anak sa tao na isama sa nitabot sa panahon ni Noe. Sama sa mga adlaw, sa wala pa ang luro, ang mga tao nagpadayon sa naan sa nilang buluhaton, sama sa pagkaon sa pag-inom, o pagminyo ay hangtod din sa adlaw magsunod si Noe sa arka.
Now, I want to ask you a question. You're familiar with Noah? What was sudden and unexpected about the coming of the flood in Noah's day? Did the people of the world know that a flood was coming? No, you say no. Why didn't they know? Were they told? Do you think Noah told them? I think Noah told them. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. So they must have seen him building this thing. In other words, one day God said to Noah, I'm going to give the world 120 more years. So they must have, the whole world must have known that there's a man building this big, big ship where there is no water. So you say they didn't know the flood was coming. So they could have known, but they choose not to believe. Have you met people like that? in other words, here's the evidence. Here are people who believe it. Here are people who know it. Here are people who have heard from God. And so what was going on in the days of Noah? It's in verse 38, it says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." So, these things that they were doing that's mentioned here in this verse, is that wicked things? Sinful things? Is it sinful to marry and have families, children? No, there's nothing wrong with that. Is it sinful to eat and drink? And I think if you look up this verse in Luke, which we're not going to go there today, but it, Luke also says that they were building and planting. All right, so the eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, this is normal life. This is things that people do. Good people, bad people. Eat, drink, get married, have families. Okay, nothing wrong. But when we come to where we're building and planting, what does that mean? There's nothing wrong with planting, but when you plant, you expect that you're going to have a crop, and it isn't going to be tomorrow morning. See, I'm quite young, and I might plant some walnut trees. But, you know, it takes 30 or 40 or 50 years for a walnut tree to come to maturity. But it doesn't matter. If the Lord delays, somebody will see those trees. And if I'm building, I might have a business. I'm building some sheds and some barns. In other words, I'm carrying on my business, and I'm expecting that my business is going to go on for years. Again, there's nothing wrong, wicked, sinful, evil, or anything else about that. But it says that their mind was on something of the future of their own planning. And the problem is the next verse. It says they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I think there's a verse in Luke. I'd like to look at it. Yeah, here's a verse in Luke, and it's what Jesus is speaking to the to Jerusalem. Verse 42, 43, and 44. And he's saying to them, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Verse 42, yeah. So Jesus is saying to his own people, his own city, his own church, shall we say, he's saying, listen, if you will come to me, I will hide you from what's coming. You can be hidden under my wings. But if you will not, the destruction is coming suddenly upon you, and the whole place is going to be destroyed. Then he goes on, he says, but you should know, but it's hidden from your eyes. Here it is in plain sight. God himself is saying it to you, and yet you cannot see it. Part of the problem is they refuse to have spiritual understanding. They had only carnal understanding. And in the house of God, the tabernacle, carnal understanding is in the outer court. And because the people who are Christians who insist on living in the outer court, the people who say, I will be quickly taken away to heaven, but what's really happening is their eyes are being blinded. Brethren, cry out to those. Let them hear. Brethren, cry out to your brethren. Come out of Babylon, my people. She is going to be destroyed in 1 hour. Do you believe the word of God says that? In 1 hour is her destruction come. And Jesus is saying to his own people, verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay even with the ground and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
Verse 43, kay mo abot ang mga liputan ko, liputan ka sa imong mga kaaway, o kanihan sa mga tagingin na sa tanang dapit. Bulubon ka sa hindi, o pagbatin ang mga tao na nagpayo diha sa limo, o gulay usa ka ba kung naibili nila sa limo ka nga niini, kay wala ni mo ilha ang panahon nga ni Anhan Diyos, aron pagiwas ka ni mo.
Now, it says here that they did not know the time of their visitation.
Wala
What did it say about the people in the days of Noah? It says they did not know until the waters of the flood were upon them. Suddenly, then they knew. But they now, yes, they had a knowing, but not until they had refused the time of preparation and they refused to come in to the place of shelter and safety. So Jesus is making the same statement in his day. And the word that he has given here in Matthew and in Luke is also a word for us in this day and in this hour. So in this day, in this hour, we are not going to get lumber and nails and hammers and build a ship. But you have an opportunity now to allow the Word of God to do something in your heart. And to change you in such a manner that you have no identification with the world. You have no identification with Babylon. Amen. And you are turning away from the carnality of the outer court. And you are coming only into the secret place of the Most High. Now, you can hear the word that is being spoken today, and you can say, yeah, yeah, amen. But you need to take some time and examine yourself and say, how am I complicit with the world? How am I copying the ways of the world? How am I falling under the influence of the way of thinking of the world? This is part of that, the meaning of that verse, he that has this hope purifieth himself. For instance, as a believer, I will have nothing to, this is obvious, this is so grossly obvious, but I will have nothing to do with the tattooing that the world puts on themselves. I will have nothing to do with the piercing and things that go on in the skin and the lips and the nose and what have you of the world. I will have nothing to do with that. I will have nothing to do with copying the homosexual styles and the lustful styles of the world. Because it is all contrary to the purity of heart of the Christ in me. So if there is already a Christ in me, and me in Christ, then it will not be a shock of his coming suddenly to his temple. There is already a place for him, a perfect fit for him to come and take his rightful throne. Hallelujah. Turn the next page to Luke 21. two pages, actually, for me. Verse 34. We're talking about the suddenness of what's coming. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares.
Lucas 21, versículo 34. Busa pagbantay ka mo. Ayaw ka mo papatuyan sa pagkao o paginom sa mga gubog ng lindon. Ayaw ka mo pagdaog sa mga kabalaka. Mahitungod hindi kinabuhia. Kay tingalikunyag makalitan ka mo ni atong magdawa.
Now you see, the day did not come unaware to Noah. Noah and his family, they knew that the ark was finished and that it was prepared. That the food and provision had been laid aside in the ark. There was no shock for Noah to hear the Lord say one day, "Come thou and all thy family, come into the ark." So there was no shock, there was no sudden unexpected. But it says in verse 35, "For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth."
35, "Kay maabot kini sa tanang mga tao sa tibuok kalibutan, ingon sa usa ka lit-ag."
As a snare.
Sa kalit-ag.
Didn't we talk about the snare when we were here before? I forget what kind of animals get caught in your snares.
Wild pig?
Oh, wild pig, that's right. You can snare the wild pig.
Yeah.
Did somebody say chicken?
Wild chicken.
Well, what kind of a snare do you use for a wild chicken? A little wire? A what? Oh, a bigger one.
Nylon thread?
Oh, a net, yeah. But either way, the pig, the chicken, the rabbit, he's just going along, and all of a sudden, he's caught. So this is what's going to happen to the people of the world. And might I add, the Christians who are also living as the world. If that's where you're going to live, it's going to come like a trap.
And
this kind of snare that he's talking about is a snare that is meant to give you your dinner. They're not just catching the wild pig to take him somewhere else and turn him loose. He is going to be cooked. That's what he means. That's what Jesus means when he says this. And then he says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So you see, there is a way of escape. Not the pre-trib rapture. But God does have can escape all these things. Amen. But how do you come to that being worthy to escape? Is there anything you have to do to be found worthy of this escape? What are the things that you are to do? Watch and pray. How many of you know how to pray? Does everybody here know how to pray? Do you ever have prayer meetings? You've never been to a prayer meeting? I mean, you know, where you gather together to pray? Okay, so you know what a prayer meeting is. How many of you know how to watch? We don't have watch meetings, though, do we? Well, I don't know. Maybe we should. I'm not sure what it is, but I think the Lord is saying we need to watch. You know, I remember a time when we had such a feeling that things were happening in the earth. And 9/11/01, how long ago was that? That would be almost 13 years ago. I remember the days that we could just feel something in the spirit. We just knew. We didn't know what it was, but we just knew that something was about to happen. And by the way, it isn't just 9/11/01. There's times that you just sense the nearness of the coming of the Lord. And we're in a watchful mode. And I remember in my house, you know, there's a restlessness. And we go to the window and we look out, you know. You look at the sky. You go to the other window and you look the other way. And when it comes to 6 o'clock or something, you turn the radio on. Did anything happen? You know? And you're in a place of watching, and you go to bed in that place. In that place in your spirit. And those are the times that maybe the Lord puts something in your soul, in a dream or something. You've been seeking the Lord. Oh God, what's coming, Lord? What's coming? Are you going to share it with somebody, Lord? Will you tell your servant the prophets? And so you come to the meeting when the brethren gather together, and you're anxious to hear from the other brethren. What is the Lord saying? You know, I think that this is what the Lord means by watching. Oh my. Are you okay for another minute or two? I see we've gone an hour already. Let me go back. I'm not going to finish this. Let me go back to Luke 12. You know, I like Matthew, but Brother Luke has got some good things too. He's telling us the posture and position we need to be in.
Yeah,
Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. That means your lamps. Yeah.
Lucas 2:35. Pag-andang kamo sa bisan unsay modalan, bakit hugot ang inyong mga bitim, dakuti ang inyong mga tuga.
Now, this is spiritual language, okay? That means your loins girded. Your clothes are on. Well, it doesn't mean that you can't go to bed. But it means that you are always in a state of readiness. Now, I believe the children of Israel, when they knew that it was the night of Passover, and they knew that at the midnight hour, the destroyer was coming through the land. And they knew that they had the blood of the Lamb on their house. And yet they had never been in this position before. The word was that the firstborn of the house would die if they did not have things right. And there was, Lord, have we done things right? Did we do exactly what Moses said? You would not want to lose your little firstborn, would you? Your loins would be girded, your lamp would be lit. The baby would be sleeping in its little place. And you would go over with the lamp and you would look. Oh God. It's almost midnight. Oh, is the baby okay? Yeah. You would be concerned, would you not? And you would have your shoes on your feet because Moses said, be ready. Be ready. When Pharaoh gives up. When the word goes out. It is time now for the sons of God to rise. You want to be ready. You want your shoes on. You want your outdoor clothes ready to go. You're going to leave behind everything of the past. Everything of Egypt, you're going to leave it behind. You can't take any of the world with you. Some of you have made that decision. Some of you have not. You know how I know? I can see it in you. I can see it in some of you who have not made that decision. I can see it in some of you that have made that decision. The word is going into you. Hallelujah. You know, I have more to say, but I'm gonna ask this one question. God is giving you who have not made that choice. God is giving you now an opportunity to make that choice. And you can know that you are saved in that day and in that hour. Is there anybody that says, Brother Mark, I want to be ready. When that day of the Lord comes. If you haven't settled that, just put your hand up. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you tonight. Come on, let's pray today. Amen. Just the ones who have not made the decision now to put your hand up. The rest of you put your hand down. Hallelujah. The rest of you put your hand down. But I want to make that decision. I want the blood of Jesus to be applied to the door of my heart. I want to be forgiven. I want to know that I am found in Christ. Amen. You want prayer? Come on up here and we'll pray with you. I know that some of you need to make that decision. And you know what else the Lord showed me? It was after I left here, the Lord showed me, and I believe this is of the Lord, that the choices and the positions and the places that we take probably within the next year are going to be where we're going to be. Is this the place that you want to be when He comes suddenly to His temple? Amen.
Amen.
Is there anyone here? Just come on up and we'll pray with you today. We'll settle the issue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, God bless you. I'll give this to Brother Edmar.
Thank you very much. So, bago may baluhan natin ng mga oras sa mission. Ang ato pagpangalaga sa sumpay na Diyos, sa kinanglan sa ibisisyon, sa kinanglan sa upasilig. Kung ang mapili na iso, dilik, walay labo sa mga kauban. Ang pagpili, nalang sa mga ato ang kabulingan.